previously on The Crown, the royal family dealt with the fallout of the accident where we lost Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed. Things were tense and ultimately wound up where Queen Elizabeth made a big speech to the public after being pretty much pressured by her entire family to do something. Let's see how the emotional fallout of that tragedy continues this week on the Lords of Grantham podcast. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I am shamed. Lying naked on the floor. Illusion never changed. And we are back once again celebrating Will's mania. What is going on, Corey?
Not too much, Dave. Not too much. How about you?
It's the same. Not too much to report.
Okay. So, middle of spring. It's not summertime where something's happening every single week necessarily. Just getting through it, you know?
Yeah. Getting warm out, enjoying the weather.
That's not really that warm, honestly. It's a little brisk outside.
Now it is. It was nice. Like we're in New York and Connecticut, respectively, so it was in the low 60s this afternoon, so that's nice. That's warm.
That's nice enough. Yeah. It is a stark contrast to this show, which is
raining.
Raining and gray and just dark and brooding the entire time. The Crown is in a
dark And then they go skiing.
And they also go skiing. That's their pastime.
Yeah. Well, do we have any news on the fronts of our shows? I feel like all our people are out doing press interviews for different movies. Between Michelle Dockery is in this new one with Pennywise. What's his name? Bill Skarsgård. Dan Stevens is in like every other movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan Stevens has been everywhere, but he's not talking about Downton or anything like that.
Yeah, he's always in denial of the fact that he screwed up so royally all those years ago.
He's really just moved on with his life, and we got to accept it at this point. The biggest piece of news, though, actually ties into what we're talking about today. It is Dominic West.
Uh-oh.
Well, he recently gave an interview for, what was the publication? The Sunday Times. Uh-huh. And he did comment on how his wife said that he's not very believable at all in upper class parts. You know, we all were introduced to him pretty much as McNulty on The Wire. Mm-hmm. So to see him as, you know, the king to be of England is a jump from McNulty.
And he's on that Eminem album.
He is on the Eminem album, Dominic West. But yeah, he agrees. He thinks those are his best roles. And
McNulty, you know, or
Dominic West. He says some people look good in stiff collars, but I don't think I'm one.
So he thinks he's better in regular guy roles.
Yeah, he
says that after he's made all the Crown money that there is to make.
And he says he does miss wearing the suits all the time. And he read the reviews of the season, which were for the most part negative. And he says he spent 2 days in bed after reading them about this current season.
Who cares? It's the Crown.
It's the Crown. It's like people just woke up to this show being a little bit silly. Like, we clocked it early. It's been that way, folks.
We purposely took like time off after season one. We're like, this is too much. And then we had to come back.
It's too self-serious. I mean, just jumping ahead a little bit, but I think the difference between this season and past seasons was I think there was a little bit more care and sensitivity to not getting it right, but like treating it as if like this mattered or something, you know. Yeah. Whereas these later episodes feel a little flippant in regard to the fact that these people are still alive and they're trying to dramatize events in their lives. Whereas like the Queen stuff is all ancient history when they're covering it before. But the key thing that Dominic West talked about was he finally addressed those Lily James rumors.
Oh boy, what'd he say?
Yeah, well, he didn't speak. He didn't confirm or deny what happened. As a reminder for listeners who don't know, in October 2020, Dominic West played Lily James' father in the BBC adaptation of The Pursuit of Love. And
was her father?
Apparently. But he was pictured kissing her neck and embracing her while they rode scooters around Rome. And of course, Dominic West has been married to aristocrat Catherine Fitzgerald since 2010. After these photos circulated, they held a press conference outside their home where they kissed and handed photographers a handwritten note that read, "Our marriage is strong and we're very much still together." And he was asked whether his experiences impacted how he portrayed Prince Charles. And he said, "Definitely. I had a very acute understanding of what it feels like, what it's like to feel the horror of your name on your photograph coming up in the newspapers. There's that dreadful freezing moment when something is being revealed about you. I think anyone can understand how that feels. But I've been through it a couple years previously, and it must have informed how I approached it. That gut feeling of horror isn't something you get in year two." And later on, he reflected explicitly on that time, and he says, "I hesitate to speak on my wife's behalf because it was obviously horrible, particularly for her." And with a laugh, he continued, "But we do joke about it sometimes, because whenever we went out together, the papers would always say we were putting on a show of unity. Even if we'd be wrong about parking in the car or whatever, even if that couldn't be further from the truth. And so when we went out, we do sort of say, shall we go and have a show of unity up in London? It was an absurd situation. It was deeply stressful for my wife and my kids. But there were lighter moments. That was really the best that came of it, really."
Wow.
I mean, so he doesn't confirm or deny that he cheated.
If he did cheat, and I'm not pointing fingers and saying he did, 20-year age gap between him and Lily James. Lily James is on fire. You know, she's getting more and more relevant. I think it could have just been taken out of context.
That they were just necking around,
could have
around
been
scooters
could
and
have
embracing.
Been some, who knows? I don't know. I don't have
Dave.
The picture in front of me.
Well, you should pull up the picture in front of you because it is pretty incriminating. I mean,
I'm looking it up right now. I mean, this is a very cut and dry episode of The Crown, so I feel like it's okay if we.
Well, yeah. I mean, in this episode, Prince Charles is with Lily James too. It's pretty crazy considering the age gap with that one. Oh, come on, dude. He's leaning in, going for a smooch. He's grinning to himself. He's grinning as he cleans off her shirt. No, he's leaning and kissing their neck. Come on, bro.
That's not Lily James, though. It could be anybody.
You see the way they're riding the scooter together?
He's
all hopped up.
I just got a picture of... Okay, there are more pictures. Maybe. I'll believe it when he writes his memoir.
That's what he's holding out for, maybe.
All right. Well, let's get back to this.
I mean, I feel like that's something where you would only deny it if it was not true. But the fact that he didn't say it was true or false means there's probably some truth to it. But that he came out the other side with his wife probably means it never escalated beyond maybe what it was.
And also, like, we're in an age where people are in open relationships and polyamorous and stuff. We don't know his story, so who knows?
But also, they were married, and she's an aristocrat. I don't think she was like wanting to see her husband canoodling with someone else when people, you know, see her a certain way in society. So,
well, I mean, that ties into this week of The Crown.
Will mania, baby. Will's mania.
Will's
Will
mania.
Mania.
Why Will's? Why not just Will
Willennium?
Mania?
It's not Willennium.
It's or Will. That was Will's taken. Mania. Like Will. Plural.
Okay. But there's only one Will.
I
right?
know, that's what.
But
it's
I'm
in
so
the
confused.
News, so it's like it's a confirmed phrase.
Because there's no mention of Will Smith, and as we all know, getting jiggy with it was 1998. Uh-huh. So you would think it is Will's mania because it was Prince William and Will Smith's year.
I mean, one was a teenage boy. And the other is, you know, one of the greatest ever do it. Up until he made a fool of himself in public a few years ago. But he's going to be back.
I mean, Prince Will has done the same.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't play any Will Smith music, actually, this episode. Instead, Netflix allocated...
This answers the question we had last week. What's in the headphones?
What's the question we had last week?
What's in Prince... It's the cardigans.
Yeah. Dave, any thoughts on my favorite game?
Is that the song?
Yeah, you don't know the song?
I don't know cardigans at all.
It's Love Fool and my favorite game. That's the cardigans.
Well, it's good. I mean, it's definitely Neither of us in all of our guesses of Blur and Korn and Oasis and Julio mm-hmm. Iglesias, we didn't have it right at all.
Well, they jumped ahead a few months.
A few months. These boys shot up.
I mean, so they thanks for getting to that, Dave. So they recast the actor of Will,
and
Prince
Harry.
William. James McIvey? Is that how you say his name?
Where are we? I'm Dave on. Why is he not the first listed on the IMDb of this episode?
Ed McVeigh. Okay. Yeah. This is why I'm not the guy to look this stuff up. Yeah, he was cast in this role starting with this episode. So replacing the teenager that we saw last week. Now, Prince William went from looking at an appropriately aged teenager to an adult, uh-huh. even though he's still playing a 15-year-old.
Yeah, this is months removed.
Yeah.
It's like in their grief, they just sprouted up a foot, both of them.
Right. I do like the bit, though. So the episode opens with Prince Charles driving him back to school.
Uh-huh.
And he puts on the radio, and his music that he puts on is Torn by Nelly Imbruglia.
Williams music. And then Charles like, I like this song.
I mean, if you're going through it back then, I mean, it's not like they're going to put on Candle in the Wind, I imagine, the two of them.
No.
Torn by Nelly Imbruglia is the song. I mean, you've really felt broken up at that time. And William can't relate, though. He's just kind of like, whatever, Dad.
Yeah, he's you listen just to Nelly keeping Imbruglia. It all in.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the real Prince Charles being this human at all.
Knowing who Natalie Imbruglia is?
Yeah. I mean, who didn't at that time? But still, I just can't see him just sitting there bopping to it. But again, this is The Crown, and they're really, I feel like they're very pro-Charles. So they're working to humanize him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking, William, are you ready for this? Like, you don't have to go to school yet. We can hold you back.
We'll homeschool you.
Yeah, you can stay with Granny at Windsor, do it at his own speed. But he's like, nah.
He's got to go.
Absolutely. And I think part of it too is he gets along well with the headmaster.
Yeah, it's like Hall and Gailey. I mean, I popped.
Well, I had the same reaction, but then I went and checked. He's been here before, though. This is not the first time.
Uh-huh, but he's probably in a different hall.
No, but I mean the actor.
Oh, our boy's here?
The actor's been on this before.
Oh, we didn't know who he was. He didn't have the weight to it then.
What do you mean?
He was. When did we watch this season in relation to the Gilded Age? It's Oscar Van Ryn plays Andrew Galley, his dorm headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he must not have been a big part.
No, because he showed up in season 5. And season 5 we absolutely watched after the first season of Gilded Age. So we may have to go back and listen to the tapes to hear us be surprised that he showed up.
Well, I popped again.
I forgot all about him. It is curious, because so he plays the headmaster of you know, where he's going to school. And he looks so much older here.
Oh, man.
The actor Blake Ritson.
Yeah.
It is crazy. I know they try to sell him as being younger, and like 30-ish, you know, or something like the Gilded Age. And so he wears top hats. He has the floppish hair to kind of cover how old he looks. Here he looks his age.
Yeah, he looks like a 45-year-old man.
Chalk it up to the gray view of everything, and everything's darkened. He definitely looks like an adult.
Now, he's sort of one of the things that we see that pretty much immediately after the drop-off happens, Princess Anne and Prince Charles have a phone call about, you know, this is like that My Chemical Romance song, Teenagers, where
okay.
he says, "The teenagers scare the living blank out of me." You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what this episode is about, old people not knowing how to talk to teenagers and trying their hardest to talk to teenagers.
Yeah.
And in this conversation, Anne's like, "We've lost," you know, like, or Charles, like, "I feel like I've lost. I don't know what's going on. This is
mm-hmm.
this is tough." and he's monosyllabic, and I could be, you know, putting all of these conversations that Charles has with different people together, but he's having a really tough time getting through to him.
Yeah. And it's funny because Charles can't relate. As we know, he hated going to the school there. It was a really tough time. He was kind of ostracized from everyone. And Anne says, well, does he have friends? And he says, what a question. And she says, well, why? You didn't.
Anne has no...
gotcha, Charles.
No F's to give here. She is just like...
Right.
Cutting to it.
But I think it kind of illustrates why Charles doesn't see the appeal of school, whereas, you know, William actually does, potentially. And, you know, it's funny, though. School isn't really an escape for William as you'd think, though, because he's getting delivery after delivery of fan mail.
Yeah, he's over 600 letters from mostly, students. And then a whole sack of fan mail from unusually horny young girls.
Yes. And we get a montage of all of them writing their condolences to him, saying... if you need anything, I got you. First we see the boys at the school saying, hey, bro, we can hold you down. You can play. You got dibs on PlayStation when we hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get to the girls and they're like, oh, you look sexy. You must play a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And Dave, do you recall the girls of our age? Because we were, I mean, maybe a few years younger than who would be wiling out for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember there being that kind of hubbub.
I consulted with my girlfriend about this. Because she's older than we are. And same general age range, but that little bump is enough for teen idol worship. So I asked her and she said she wasn't and none of her friends were, but like a friend of a friend was obsessed.
Okay. I just remember like at the time it was like Jonathan Taylor Thomas was probably the boy that the girls were crazy over.
The Hansons?
Hanson.
Yeah,
that's another one. Or three of them. Prince William, I guess, because it was the old royalty factor, but it wasn't like he was like the cute boy. He was handsome back then.
The theme of this is that all of the sort of energy that went into Diana has now been transferred into William, and whether or not he wants it, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, they make a good point, and I never really thought about it. He does look like his mom. Like, it's so obvious, too, when you look, in real life at least, the features of Diana are so present in William. And not so much in this actor, but they make a good point of that.
But he's got the blonde hair. He's got the things that made Diana pretty make him handsome.
Exactly. Until he started to lose his hair, and he has not given up on the hair, which he should have about 5 years ago at least. You just gotta look in the mirror sometime, William. Come on, man. Come on, dude.
Harry's worse than William.
It really is.
Harry's actually like, has like William's at least has short hair. Harry's got like the I have hair, but you know you don't hair.
Right. If you just poof it up a little bit, it'll distract people from the fact that, you know, you're losing your hair. But
then you put a camera on it and you backlight and you see the light shining through the whatever you got left. Also, you're rich enough. Just get plugs. Yeah. No one's
gonna judge. Right. Man.
Now this is just us talking about men's grooming. Now here we're gonna plug. This would be a time for us to get like hymns. Natural hair regrowth. Promo code Lords of Grantham.
If only.
Yes.
And so Dr. Gailey sets Will down to talk about hair loss and what that means. Dr. Gailey talks to him about, like, you know, it's his master. It's his job as housemaster to check in, you know, see how he's been doing. And, you know, he lets him know that there's been a request for his attendance because the golden wedding anniversary of the queen is about to happen. And so they want him there for a photo. He can refuse if he wants. It's only a half a day official photo lunch, but, you know, you don't have to go.
Yeah, I think they present him as way nicer than he has any right to be, considering he's never taken advantage of. He's this nice guy that Prince Charles likes and that Harry or William gets along with, and he's like, if you don't want to go, I'm just saying the school's stance is we'll tell them that you're not going. And then William's like, no, I'm going to go. There's never any sort of bonding going on between the two of them. It just seems very like, okay, he's good at his job. He's doing the bare minimum.
Well, no, I mean, I think it is pretty good here because the whole thing is that William is saying he'll go do it because there's a sense of obligation. That's what the family expects him, so to do it. And that's when he opens up a little bit about the story about his wife, how she received news of leukemia. And she's better now. But he's telling him, you know, you can take a step back and process what's going on. And it doesn't seem like William is doing that at all. And I did think in that moment, at least, Gailey is like showing like his worth is like, he's not just a teacher.
I'm not saying he's not. I think they're giving him a lot of material to try to have him instill his humanity onto William. And William's just like a teenager deflecting.
Sure.
Which is the theme of most of the episode. But I feel like it's an unnecessary target considering. Is this guy even real?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like in a lot of ways what he's saying at least... is a composite of people trying to speak to Will, like, hey, bro, you don't have to put yourself out there.
You can take the time, and everybody's doing it. I guess it's just this sort of teenage brain. And this could just be an episode. The whole episode's theme is basically this kid's a teenager, and he needs to learn his role in the world and sort of be a little bit more humble.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Andrew Gailey was real. He served there from 1993 to 2006 as a housemaster. And
okay, good for him. Because I like him and I like the part. It just seems as though it's falling on deaf ears because William is so blasé about everything.
Yeah, a vintage crown though, where there's no actual evidence of his wife having leukemia.
It's
a big thing to kind of fabricate when that's the only like. Identifiable thing about him that we learn.
Yeah, and just to put a bow on Mr. Dr. Gilly, there's the scene later on where he comes back from a weekend away and there's a bunch of Valentine's Day cards. And he's like, you want me to just chuck them? And William's like, yeah, man, thank you. And that's a moment where it's like, good.
I mean, what if there's chocolate in there? What if there's actually some good stuff to
people
like?
People are sending him teddy bears and stuff. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares. You know, he's not a material.
Yeah, no, he's a teenage boy.
Yeah, he's a teenage boy. I mean, I guess he would want chocolate, but there's other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he doesn't want the attention of all these women, then he's fine. Yeah. You know, like, just chuck, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's getting his a photo taken with the family. And this is where we first see that Harry's older.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This kid stinks. This new Prince Harry does all of the redheads of the world poor.
Yeah, he comes over like this is a riot, and he's got a couple of champagne. This guy last week was a child.
Uh-huh.
Like, literally, we were saying like, doesn't he seem a little young for this role? And now he's shot up, and it makes no sense how he just aged that much in 6 months.
I mean, there's I know that no way. It's soap opera logic. We just need to recast him and make him older to move the plot.
Mm-hmm. But he looks like that kid from The Christmas Story. The bully kid.
Definitely.
He's so skinny. He's so skinny here. And it makes it all the more harder to buy that he was just a child 6 months ago. Now he's drinking champagne out of a cup. And I know he has a history of, like, drinking and drug problems, but, like, I don't buy the jump here from that little kid to this.
Yeah, yeah. It's too, especially given the closeness to the concrete date of Diana's passing. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't like some nebulous 2-year period where now he's taller. This is William is back at school. It's been a couple of months and he comes back and his brother's like a foot taller and 20 years old. And he's 25.
That's what drinking does to you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't put any hair on his face or his chest. Just makes him taller. No.
And I don't think Harry's ever looked that skinny like he does here. Like, it's crazy. but, yeah, they're just kind of commiserating how, you know, everyone's been so nice to them. It's kind. It's been strange, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just kind of want things to go back to being normal.
Yeah.
And there's a nice moment when Prince Charles walks in. They start gulping their teacups, and he just kind of gives them a look like, "What are you doing?"
All right. And is this the first time that we see them get out of the car together, and we see Will's mania in full effect, as they say?
Yeah, they're growing wild for them.
And you even see on the Queen and Prince Philip's face, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has got he took all Diana's juice, whether or not he wants to.
Yeah. It's funny looking up younger pictures of these two, because they were quite handsome when they were younger.
I mean, Princess Diana was like a model. Like, of course they're good-looking people.
Yeah. Good genes to inherit, because you ain't going to want the ones that Chuck is passing down.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we see the older William gets, the more those ones stick out.
Yeah, he's just transforming into him. But yeah, the crowd is going wild for William. The family doesn't know what to make of it. Because it was pretty much reserved for Diana back then, all that fandom. It wasn't like it was coming towards them at all. And that's when they say, like, yeah, he looks like Diana. And they're not comfortable with the attention. Yeah, this is tough.
Yeah, yeah. And we see also there's a scene where, or two scenes, I believe, where Prince Charles is on the phone with Camilla. And it is just sort of a exposition dump onto Camilla, but it also hammers home the fact that because we're still so close to this tragedy, Charles and Camilla haven't had to spend any time together. And they need to wait for like the clear. And you can see that. And when they have this sort of goofy conversation and Camilla makes a few quips and then hangs up, and you see her kind of put her face in her hands. And it's like, you can tell that this woman is like a huge victim of this. She just wants to be with her man.
Right. And she's getting just cheated out of that. She seems like a good person aside from the infidelity of it all.
But I mean, two can play that game. It's not a...
Right, for sure. Yeah, because it is as much Chuck's fault as anyone's.
Uh-huh.
I do think Olivia Williams in this role, actually, they don't give her much to work with. From what I've seen of Camilla, she does recall to mind, for me, like how Camilla seems to act in public and stuff. She gets the mannerisms down just right.
I think she's definitely
really good at it. Yeah, wish they gave her more.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do at this time. Hopefully we get more as the weeks continue.
Yeah. But she's reminding Prince Charles, you got a father. You got to be a father, man. Come on. Step up.
Yeah.
Do your job.
So is this when then they're talking about going, is this pre or post Canada? This is the trip to Canada.
No, he's talking him into going to Canada.
Uh-huh.
We learned that William has broken the junior record in swimming the 50 meters.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be nice to visit Mummy's grave and play some flowers. Alternatively, we can go to Canada.
Or both.
And ski. Or both, yeah. We just have to take a picture.
Yeah,
that's the only thing we got to do.
So they do this whole thing where they're going to Canada, and the whole plan right there, we see that Harry is very much still the younger, silly, doofus teenage boy who doesn't care about crumbling up some papers and throwing them at his dad and throwing them at fellows in the plane, just like, and we see William is just a little too cool for school, but he can't not laugh at his dad at this sort of bullying and silliness and like boys being boys stuff. Yeah. But then when they get to Canada, they're in the hotel room raiding the minibar.
I mean, Harry liked to drink. I don't know if it was as accurate as they show here, but sure. You know, why don't we just accelerate the timelines anyways?
Like,
we
only got 5 years episodes old left. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, teenagers do drink at that age, but that's a bold thing to fictionalize so quickly, you know?
But, I mean, it does get at the fact that they don't really want to do the whole photography show or anything like that, you know? They just want to ski. They want to be with their dad. And that was the pain point for William. It was like, do we have to do that? And so...
Yeah, well, at one point, Charles is like, look, we got these 3 days. We got to do some things, make some stops.
Yeah.
And then Then there's the thing where we're going to go skiing, but we have to do one photo for the press, select right. members of the press. And William goes off and has the ultimate teen moment yelling at his dad, where he says, I'm not the one with the image problem, and walks off. And you got to say, as much as they do really try to pump up Charles, this dude never yells at his kids. If that were, if I ever said anything like that to either one of my parents, it would have been game over.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're just a little jealous, aren't you? No. It's not that he's jealous. He says, like, you're doing it for your image. Yeah, yeah. That's so cold-blooded. It's Harry who admits he's a little jealous after drinking to William.
Yeah, he says he wants to, he says, I'm 14.
It's Will Mania, baby. I mean, Will's mania. It's not Harry mania. He's got the looks. Harry's jealous, and Charles wants to fix his image. They're all using him. And it is true, Harry was allegedly drinking as early as age 14.
Okay.
So, there you have it. But yeah, the boy's a sensation. They mobbed him. They're obsessed. And then it kind of cuts to this weird abstract thing where he's in a museum staring at the moon.
Yeah, this is during their little Canada trip. It's one of the stops.
Yeah.
Weird choice. The decision.
Yeah, he's seeing the world, and it's like his world, I guess. Right. As you said, they have the whole conversation, though, about the giving a photo and everything. And what is it?
We smash cut from the ski trip, from this sort of situation, to the Queen, Prince Philip, and Prince Charles having a conversation about William being out of control, and he's asking them for help.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth is like, you got to be a dad.
Exactly.
And he keeps saying... continue.
No, she shows some understanding, at least, that, you know, they hate the press because of, you know, what they did to his mother. Uh-huh. You know, that it totally tracks, but... The him saying he hates the people, the public, that's disturbing, because his job later on will be to serve the public.
Yes.
And so that's when he says, that's when she says to Chuck, you got to step up. Again, someone telling him, like, do your job.
And he says, can you help me? And they say, no, this is a you thing.
Yeah.
And this is a moment where parenting is needed, where you need to be a parent, which sends us down... a rabbit hole I did not anticipate going down at this point of this show.
Yeah, they cut to Prince Phil sitting there the whole time, just drinking it in, nodding to himself like, this boy needs a father figure.
He goes, that reminds me of my daddy.
And myself as a daddy.
And we get a little Jonathan Pryce run. I thought this was nice.
Yeah. And we do get one more go of William. He comes to visit him back at school again, and you know he just wants to talk to him, right?
The first Philip home video reel sequence with the returning old cast, season one cast. Yeah, and then what happened is our guy, the doctor, Dr. Oscar Van Rijn, tells William, the Queen and the Prince and the Duke of Edinburgh are here to see you, but it's actually Prince Charles, and he just says, look, dude, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get through. Why are you so angry with me?
Yeah.
And this dude, William, this little boy, cuts a promo on his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And he tells him that it's his fault that Princess Diana's dead.
Right. She always loved him. She had no business being near the Fayeds. It's your fault for making her so unhappy, you know?
The only reason she was in south of France in the first place was because you were throwing a birthday party for Camilla.
Yeah.
So this poor dude. Like, poor Charles. And he owns up. He's like, we weren't great. I wasn't great to her. I didn't kill her.
This episode is intensely repetitive, I will say.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we get this scene about three times.
But this is the moment where William is really comes for the gut. He's like, hey, I'm coming for body shots. Like,
Right.
You killed mom, basically. Mm-hmm. And
it's on you.
We see later on, he goes into his dorm, and who's there? Magical fairy known as Prince Philip.
Who are these women on the wall?
What are their names?
Cindy Crawford, Claudia Schiffer, and Naomi Campbell. Don't know any of them. I think Prince Phil had to have known at least a couple of them. The cad that he is, he definitely knew who they were. That guy kept tabs on models.
Yeah.
But he was like, in my day, it was Rita Hayworth and some other people.
And Tina Elizabeth.
Yeah. So, sure. But it is kind of funny, though. Like, there's a couple times where people just barge in the room that William's in, and it's like, you don't want to knock first? He's a teenager.
He's a teenage boy. You don't know what's going on in there.
Right. Come on, now. But yeah, Phil and William play some late-night chess.
Uh-huh.
William, not that good at it. Phil says you're charging like a deranged Viking.
Yeah, he says you're playing with your heart.
Yeah.
And he just...
He makes us...
Phil lays into William, and he's like, "Dude, you gotta be better to your dad."
Yeah, I mean, he puts it gently in that, you know, he has this stuff that he calls back pain. No matter what he's feeling or whatever, he attributes it to back pain. And he's saying like, "This is kind of similar to you. It's easier to be angrier at your father than admitting what you're, you know, really angry about. You know, that you hate this attention." Yeah, you know, that you're not, you have this pressure of living up to your mom and stuff. You can't just put it on your dad like I kind of put it on my back pain.
It's just because your mom could deal with it doesn't mean you should be mad at your dad. And at one point, he's like, you should be mad at your mom for being so good at this, which is like, okay, Phil, tread lightly, my friend. I know you don't mean
more
that.
Like more like Peter Morgan. We get it. You're pro Charles and anti Diana. Like, I mean, you couldn't put it more plainly here. But, you know, it's not our faults.
And then he says, you're a teenager, and these are the feelings you're going to have. And when you have a kid who's 16, I want you to hopefully remember this conversation. And we see, finally, it's gotten through to this boy.
Yeah.
It only took grandpa. And he says, me and my boy Mike sailed the seven seas.
And then he goes back and watches some more footage of himself just living it up as a younger man. And I'm sure there was footage in there of him and Mike on the boat somewhere just drinking it up, living it up.
Oh, yeah.
Not just with the kids. Because he was a bad father himself to Charles.
Well, I think that's like, why this weighs so heavy on him is because, as we've seen with his father, he was sort of pushed around. He was a very... Like, it's a generational softening that is occurring where everyone's like, wait a minute, my dad was bad to me. So I was a little less bad to my kid, and I really hope my kid is better to their kid, and so on and so on and so on until...
Generational trauma.
Yeah, you don't say.
And now William is doing so great right now, you know, with that whole cover-up earlier this year, what was going on with his wife, and obviously, you know, you can't say it was all him, it was the royalty, but come on, Will.
Especially with allegations of him cheating on his wife.
Well, hey, you know, if it's anything like Dominic West, it's no big deal. It's something to laugh about today.
Well, you know, I just think I think this prophecy that fictional Prince Philip says, like, and the stuff that William says, like, you had to be in love with somebody else. Let's talk about it, Will. Let's talk about it now, 2024, bud.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're going to be the king. Keep it together.
Yeah. So Will comes back home, and he comes to his father, Charles, and they kind of embrace. They have a hug. They hug it out.
Yeah.
And Prince Phil's just looking on like, well, my job is done here.
And then he disappears.
Yeah, pretty much. Magical fairy Phil.
And then we see William goes with flowers to the grave of Diana, and we fade to black.
I didn't realize that her grave is really out there, like on a little, you know, secluded area.
Good.
So that no one can get to. That's good. Yeah, get it away from everyone instead of a freaking bronze statue. But, Dave, was this a good episode?
I don't know. I think it was It was short, but it was still too long.
It was so one note. I get what they were trying to convey, like, you know, the how despondent he was in those days after the passing of Diana, but it just feels like they don't have much to say about it other than grief.
It happens. Feels like, and I think this is foreshadowing, it feels like they don't have much to say for the remainder of this show.
Maybe. That's where the negative reviews came in. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those things that I think that, like we talked about it, that this was Morgan's chance to fix what he did wrongly in The Queen, even though The Queen was critically beloved.
Right.
But now, like, I saw some of the episode descriptions, and I'm trying not to spoil anything, not that it's a true spoiler, but we see Kate Middleton gets brought into this show. Like, that's too recent. I don't want to watch fictionalized versions of them. Mm-hmm. It seems like the show would have hit its emotional peak if maybe we ended last week and then did like a postscript of the last year. You know, like Philip passes, like both of the kids are married, the grandkids are married, and she dies. You know, like do something like that. Or it's a nice putting a bow on it. But now we got to go through how many more, like 6 or 7 more episodes of this show where it's just going to be
five. We're on episode 5. So 5 more.
Okay.
Do they go all the way up to them watching The Queen and then remarking to themselves that Peter Morgan is something, huh?
I hope.
Or I hope news so. About the Queen is being made about The Queen. It all just ties back around to himself, Peter Morgan. Look what he did.
Well, yeah. What did you think?
Again, yeah. It, very one note. It just I felt the mood of it. It definitely resonated with me, that kind of just sadness of just like existential crisis after someone is gone. Uh-huh. But got to get a move on. We only got 5 episodes left. This is all we're doing here? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many more people around. And there's like every time Princess Anne is on screen, you're like, this is good. I like this. And then you see Princess Margaret hover in the background. We're like, we don't know how much time we have left with her on screen.
Right.
So it is very, it is what it is.
Yeah, sure.
But we do have power
rankings. We got power rankings.
We do.
Always.
You want to start us off this week?
Yeah. And number one going, number three going down. Sorry. Number three going down. I got Headmaster Gailey.
Really?
His wife was sick. And he just doesn't look that like upbeat. He looks pretty down. He seems like a downtrodden man.
He's a headmaster for a kid's school. He's probably not the most joyful job.
No.
Hanging around a bunch of puberty-ridden boys.
Exactly. He's going through it.
Well, number three.
How about you, Div?
I got Prince Harry.
Okay.
His little snot is ugly.
Uh-huh.
He's a little ginger boy. And no one's giving him the attention that he wants, because William is getting all this hunky boy attention. Harry's the little redheaded other child. And we see he's getting a little too sauce, too young.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Well, number two going down. Do I have this right? Oh, yeah, I got Camilla. She's all alone.
So do I.
Yeah. I mean, she's trying to give Chuck some advice. I keep saying Chuck, but Prince Charles. Trying to give him advice about being a father while no one's paying attention to her. And he says, this is tough for you. And she says, no, it's okay. Meanwhile, she's dying inside. Mm-hmm. Feel for her. I really do.
Well, that's who I have at number two. So who do you got at number one? I think it's pretty obvious.
It's Prince Charles.
Whoa, okay, nope. Not me.
Prince Charles is just a punching bag this whole week, man. His son is just telling him, like, you're the reason why she died. You know, I don't want your love, father. I mean, he eventually comes around and says, okay, dad, I'll take you in. But the entire time, he's telling Prince Charles, you're trash.
Wow.
It's tough times for Charles.
I got William at number one going down.
Okay.
He's so put upon. And he's not... The one thing that we have... In our whole, 40 minutes of discussing this, we haven't talked about the fact that people are telling him, like, you have not grieved properly. You are still grieving. You are not doing this right. Take your time and do it right. And he's like, no, I'm a kid. No, this is about... And then he bullies his dad. He, poo-poos his royal duty. He's mm-hmm. all of these people are showing their support for him, and he's like, I don't like it. I think it's a bad look for him.
Okay. Well, who's going up, Dave?
Well, I got Dr. G going up. Our man Oscar Van Rye, because I think that he's doing his job well. He's having these heart-to-hearts that he has to have. And then he's going above and beyond with this kid, with disposing of all these love letters. I think it's a good look for him.
He's trying what he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had hard times with his family, obviously. But, yeah, he's trying. Well, at number three going up, I got Harry.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the dude is yucking up a storm. He's
in clown mode. He's in
some champagne.
Prime clown age.
Oh, yeah, no, mask on. He is in Joker mode. He's like, I don't care. I'm jealous of you, William, but I'm just going to get drunk and be merry. I'm just going to live my best life. I just shot up a foot. I'm taller. yeah, he doesn't seem to be as aggrieved as William, so there you go.
Well, I got Prince Charles going up at number two.
Wow, okay.
Because I think he's getting dunked on by his son. Mm-hmm. But he's also showing an incredible amount of responsibility and foresight, and he's doing all the right things. So you can't ding a dad with a teenage son for getting put in his place by that teenager, because that happens to everybody. But this dude manages to get through to him, and he has everybody else in his royal family that's like, dude, just keep at it. You're going to get there.
Yeah.
And he keeps at it.
I think you can ding him.
He keeps getting the abuse, but then he comes out on the other side. Okay.
I think you can ding him because he's not good at it. It really requires Prince Charles or Prince Phil coming in to be like, here's what's the problem.
I don't know if
this is what you need to do.
I think it's a situation that every kid doesn't, well, not every kid, but you know, a lot of teenage boys don't want to have those conversations with their dads.
Yeah.
And Charles says, if it's one of you to get the ball rolling to his mother and his father, then it's going to be easier for me to sort of get my emotional payoff that I need. And they're like, no. But then in actuality, it is. He was right.
Sure. But that doesn't mean he got through to his son. He wasn't the one who got it done.
Well, his son was filled with regret at the end of the episode because of the things he said to him. So I think he did kind of get through.
Well, at number two, I got Prince Phil. He's not the stepdad. He's the dad who stepped up. He's the one who gets through to William to be like, snap out of it.
He's my number one.
Okay. Okay.
This is the greatest episode for Prince Philip.
He absolutely deserves his flowers. I wish we got more home footage. More time of him watching that and just laughing to himself.
More Foy. We wanted more Foy.
Yeah. Do you think they shot new footage or is this old footage they reused?
Must have been old footage.
Yeah. But no, he definitely does it. He does the job, what he needs to get Phil or William to get it together. But for me, at number one, it's William, because this is Will's mania. This is like he may
but
hate
he
everyone,
like
he may hate everything. Doesn't matter. Okay. He's number one. He can do what he wants. He can tell his dad, you know, you just need to fix your image. You know, he's got his brother jealous of him. He doesn't want any of it.
He's getting
but that makes him all the more powerful. Exactly. He's all the more powerful. He can do whatever he wants without caring. This guy can get away with it.
But he needs to care. The boy needs to care.
Well, he does learn by the end of the episode to care. So that's the other thing. He does grow. So thanks, Prince Phil.
Yeah. That's why, but he was number one because he comes in at, for me, everything you said.
Oh, sure.
Jonathan Pryce is great.
Mm-hmm. No, he is fantastic here, actually. he really does embody Prince Phil, honestly. Like, the kind of, like, out of touch, but still has something to contribute to the whole thing.
He's got a little gas in the tank.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's good. And that's this week on The Crown. And we'll see, you know, how things trend with the quality of the episodes in the coming weeks.
The thing is, it's infinitely watchable, especially considering we, like, lived it. It just doesn't mean that it's good.
Sure. Was it ever good? Maybe.
It had its moments.
It's had its moments. It the best parts about The Crown has, I feel like, always come from the performances and how they embody these people that we're somewhat familiar with, feel like we know, and just the flavor that they give to the actions that they take to make them seem a little bit more human, even if it doesn't seem realistic. It just makes it that much more enjoyable. Well, Dave, have you been watching anything else?
Not too much. Well, I mean, I think, I don't know if I officially said it on this podcast, but based on your recommendations, I started The Traitors, burned through the first season. I think I'm about halfway through the second season.
Okay.
It's good TV. It's very easy to watch. I saw The Circle came back today, and I'm really excited for that because I feel
season six.
For the first time in a long time, it's been, like, the one problem with that show, I think it gave a lot of fans fatigue because they dropped so many seasons so quickly. But it actually feels like I was not expecting this. I was not expecting The Circle. So now I'm excited to have The Circle back in my life. But at the same time, I'm doing The Traitors first. I'm going to burn through that whole show. So
you got to finish The Traitors.
Alan Cumming is a delight.
Truly. He really does make the show.
But he's like, to me, he's never lost. He was never like a lead. But he was always like a guy that should have been more than a reality show host. So this seems like
a
step down, but the paycheck must be there.
It's got to be. I mean, but he was such a scene stealer in X-Men 2, the GoldenEye, Josie and the Pussycats. The guy is, you know, he can perform. But yeah, I think this is the perfect show to show off like his theatricality and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's a Tony winner, right?
I think so, yeah. Because was he in like a version of Chicago?
He's in like everything. He's
right. He's only 59.
Yeah, but it's a good show.
Actually, I thought he'd be younger than that. But
he's had a life. Well, he's been around. GoldenEye is almost 30 years old, so he's been in the public eye for a long time. What about you? You been watching anything, Corey?
Just Shogun's about to wrap up, and that has been as good as it could possibly be, front to back. It is living up to the hype. So that's pretty much it, honestly. I've not had any time to watch TV.
Yeah.
That's life.
Indeed.
But we will keep watching The Crown. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it for this week. And you know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X. You can hit us up at lordsgrantham@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us. You can sign up for our Patreon, join our Lords Grantham Lounge, talk to us there. We'll have some bonus content there for you. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you so choose on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to us. You can find our whole backlog on Podbean, on our website. And we will catch you next time on the pod.